I'm going to continue on with the I Love My Church series and talking about the impact that the church has in the community and in our lives. And today we're looking at sharing with our community, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. And so I want to read that with you this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people lay a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. May God bless the reading of His Word. This week has sort of been not a letdown, but it's sort of been a relief in some ways because we haven't had all the pressures that we had last week. But there is still things as you step back and you think about what has been the impact. What is the impact of our church and our community? You know, there have been times in my life when we go to the restaurants, or we'll go to a restaurant and people will just talk it up, right? This is the best place, you know. They have the best soup, the best sandwich, the best whatever. And you go there and it is no good, right? It's no good. And, you know, I think about that, and a great dining experience for me really comes down to two things, and that is food and atmosphere. It needs to be good food, and it needs to be a place that you feel comfortable in. It's all about what you see and what you taste. That's what makes the restaurant. And it's, you know, for the math people in the house, the people that can add to 36, right, Shirley? You know, the two things that make a difference is food plus atmosphere equals experience, a positive experience. And so if you hear about a new restaurant coming to town, those are usually the two things that we ask about. What's the feel? What's it look like? And so as we think about this I Love My Church series that we've been doing over the last several weeks, you know, we see, as we learned in the first week, that Jesus has given us new lives without fences, and lives that are part of a new community that He is creating. And this life in this community in His kingdom is life as it was meant to be, that gives us a new identity and a new set of values and ethics to live by. And we concluded that first week that our reputation as people in this new community should be one of love. And that's the key, really. One of the two things that make us Christians is our love. And we concluded the first week that God wants all of His people to know this life of salvation, this life of forgiveness, of peace, of healing, of purpose, and hope. And so as we finish this series up, we need to think about what is the question that we need to ask ourselves. How do people get to this new life in God? How do we give them that experience? How do we allow them to have that food to be able to reach that great opportunity? How do people hear, and how do they discover who Christ is? How do they know who God is and what is the kingdom of God? And so as we just read in Matthew chapter 5, We hear about the salt of the earth, and we hear about the light, about the city on the hill. And so what we realize from reading that scripture is that God entrusts us to create that kingdom experience. And so the restaurant experience that people get to go to, when people come and they say, hey, that church, that God, that's a great thing. That's a great, you know, sandwich or whatever. A great God. Guess what? They're evaluating Him by our, how, what kind of experience and what kind of food we prepare. God entrusts us to create the kingdom experience. You are the salt of the earth, He says in Matthew 5:13. Salt brings taste. Now, you all probably heard the story a couple of different times. Of when Greta and I were dating, she fixed me our first meal in her apartment. And when I came down to eat, she fixed me mashed potatoes. Simple dish, right? Meat, mashed potatoes. That's the way to a guy's heart, right? And that's what my mom always said anyway. So, and that's the truth. That's, you know, I love Greta for many things, but one of those is her cooking, right? She is a great cook. But Greta fixed mashed potatoes that tasted so much different than my mother's. Mashed potatoes. Now, how much, there's not many ingredients in potatoes, right? I mean, potato, water, maybe, butter. And evidently in Greta's house, they taught her to use salt. In my mom's house, she didn't use salt because she salted her potatoes at the table. And I didn't know, you know, I never ate them with salt. So when I went and we had our meal together, as Greta fed me, I was like, what is, these potatoes are amazing. What is it that's a special ingredient? What did you do to this? And so she put salt in them. She said, well, and she thought that I was crazy because, but that salt attracted me to those potatoes, right? Salt brings taste. It's a flavor. It brings taste of bland food. If you just eat a potato, which you can right out of the field, right? They used to do that in the old days. Thank God we don't do that anymore. We've learned different ways to fix them. But potatoes, they don't have much taste unless you put something in them. So salt preserves. If someone gives you a plate of food that's really not the best, like one of the things that I use salt on, about the only thing really, other than what Greta does with her seasoning and her cooking, is eggs. I don't like the taste of eggs just plain. They have to have some kind of a salt to them in order for them to taste good to me. Can you please pass the salt? Usually is what we ask at the table for egg breakfast day. So we don't want to miss what Jesus is telling us in this scripture here, in this metaphor. He's making it clear how necessary and important we are for the welfare of the world. Because we have experienced a transformation in our lives as we have come to the kingdom of heaven. And so our presence is necessary as God's means of influencing the world for good. The world needs salt. The world needs some taste. It needs some flavor. It needs something to bring attraction to God. And so that's what we are. He has entrusted us with that. Regardless of our status or our profession, the kingdom life that we possess is invaluable for the effect that it will have in our daily circles of influence. Wherever you are, whether you're working at McDonald's, whether you're working at a child care center, whether you're working in an office somewhere, whether you're a doctor, a dentist, whether you're a whatever, your circle of influence needs you to be the light, to be the salt, to bring taste to people's world. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. In Jesus' time, they had small wicker lamps. Have you all ever seen those? There was one that hung in the hall of our house at home as I was growing up, because it was built 100 and some years ago. That's how they actually lit. They had the one on the wall that you put the oil in and had the wicker that, you know, that you would light, the wick that you would light. And that's how it lit up. You put that usually at the tallest or the highest place so that the light would shine throughout the entire room, not under a bowl, right? Or under some type of lamp or a shade of some kind. And so when Jesus was growing up in his time, when he was preaching this message, the old oil lamps didn't really give out a lot of light in the average home that had very few windows. and it was most effective when set on a lampstand. And even the smallest of those lights would lift up and chase away darkness. And here's the key, as Jesus is trying to make us understand, that light removes darkness. Light removes darkness. You cannot have darkness where there is a source of light. Light and darkness do not exist in the same place. It's one or the other. His disciples were a living demonstration of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven. They were the light of the world. So don't miss this metaphor either, because light removes darkness. We not only carry the light of the gospel of the kingdom of God, but we are that light. Because of the work of the Spirit in our lives, our transformation has produced kingdom light in us, affecting every aspect of our being, turning us into positive influencers in the sin-darkened world. As salt and light, we bring the taste and the atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to the world. And so if food and atmosphere equals experience, then the experience of the kingdom comes from us, the followers of Christ. It amazes me to think that God would give us that responsibility. He trusted us to curate his creation and to manage it and to take care of it. And the lesson this morning with the kids, there was the one thing that we were talking about, James chapter 3, and the power of the tongue and the damage that it could cause. And so I asked the kids, what's the one thing that human beings haven't been able to bridle in their ability to dominate the creation of the Lord? The scripture tells us in James chapter 3, the only thing we haven't been able to bridle is our mouth, right? Because we just can't stop ourselves sometimes from doing things that hurt other people or hurt ourselves. But the light that Jesus gives us, he gives us the ability to rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And so now he's established his kingdom and he entrusts us to curate his culture. We are to bring the taste. We are to bring the light. We are to bring the Jesus community experience to our city so they know God. They find him, they repent, and they find new life. So think about this. Don't ask how your city is. Ask yourself if you're salting it correctly. Discouraged that our culture is so dark? Then ask yourself if you're lighting it up. If the culture is bland and dark, then we need to get to salting and lighting. When we intentionally love one another, we intentionally use our gift and live out the love of God toward one another and to the world outside these walls. We are salting the bland and bringing light to the darkness. And so saying I love my church isn't just about us. It doesn't just impact us. It actually impacts everyone outside these walls. And so how do we bring this experience to our culture? Well, the first thing we need to do is that people will experience Jesus' community when we live its values. We read the Beatitudes. You heard some of those. It talks about what Jesus said. And these Beatitudes are not just an introduction. They're not a separate thing in and of themselves. They are the salt and light. They are an example of what the salt and light looks like. They're part of the same thought. In verses 2 through 10, the Beatitudes, these are the values that Jesus has of the kingdom of God. They're what we're going to experience when we get in the presence of the Lord. In verses 11 and 12, he promises us persecution for those that follow the evil path and promises us reward if we follow the path of light. And then in verses 13 through 16, which are the focus of this message, he gives the charge and the call, which is to us what we're supposed to do. So Jesus has brought us the kingdom of God through regeneration and renewal by the Spirit. He transforms us, and the Spirit produces in us a poverty of spirit, of mourning, of meekness, of righteousness, of mercy, of purity, and peace. These are the characteristics that Jesus' disciples carried into the world that we continue to carry into the world today. And this is the kingdom that he wants in us and that we have to demonstrate. The Beatitudes are the character profile of a person who says, I love my church. If you want to say, I love my church, then you need to live this life. So seasoning and shining isn't really the only message we declare with our lips. It's not just what we say, it's also what we do. It's what we do. Lifestyle is the emphasis here. Being salt and light is more about the message we declare with our actions and our reactions and everything in between. You know, you cannot separate the message of God from lifestyle. If you're a Christian, this is about who you are and what we want to be. The values in you as you live the kingdom bring flavor to a bland and rotting world. The values in you as you live the kingdom bring the light of the world to a darkness, to a world of darkness. People experience the kingdom when we live its values, and it helps us to realize how to be effective agents of salt and light. The second thing is to know that we live the values of Jesus' community in our daily life. You know, that it was something, and I had this to put up on the screen in a video, but there was a guy who actually overdosed on soy sauce and died because he ate too much soy sauce. A young man, he drank a quart of soy sauce, went into a coma, and died from an excess of salt in his body. And this 19-year-old who drank the soy sauce was dared by friends to do this. And he was he's the first person that is known to have deliberately overdosed on salt or on such a high amount of salt. Now, I share this story because it has a direct impact on how we live. We are called to bring the salt and light to our world so they can experience the kingdom, not so that they can be blinded by the sun or OD on salt. So the question we have to answer is, are we seasoning and shining, or are we blinding and gagging? You can almost give somebody too much, can't you? And so you have to be patient. And it's not an easy thing to do. There's some of you parents that have been praying for your children. Matter of fact, when I met with Kathy on Friday, she's still got one of her kids that she's praying for every day to come to Christ. It's not an easy thing to do, to be patient. But he and she is praying, even today. But we can't bind and blind and gag people with the gospel. They have to be seeing it in a shining way, in a beautiful way. And they have to understand the beautiful taste. If you put too much salt in potatoes, if Greta would have overdone the salt, I wouldn't have been as attracted to that potato, would I? Those mashed potatoes, no. You can put too much in it. You can put too much in it. So can we. So we have to be careful. There's truth in Jesus Christ. And so we have to be willing to be patient, to give people what they need at the time that they need it. I want to read you a portion of an email from a young lady that I have been working with. And she shared this with me and gave me permission to share it with you. She said, moving back to State College, I was able to start back at my old job. Many of the servers and employees were surprised to see me. Nonetheless, I was able to get back to working. And about a week ago, one of them, I could tell something was on her mind. In the midst of having a slow night, I asked her how her family was doing. And she started to share her troubles about her daughter leaving and that she was afraid. I shared my testimony about how my mom and I didn't speak for 2 years. And how throughout the past years, I found God and our relationship started to grow. She mentioned she wanted to go to church, but hasn't gone yet. And I encouraged her and said that God changed me and cares about our relationships. She got my number and we talked more at work, and I'm leaving the door open to share more. Over the past 2 days, the servers lately have been getting cranky and gossiping, arguing with management during work, and I won't gossip, and I will respect management there regardless of how I think the place, quote, should be run. They know I am a, quote, faith-based girl. However, the gossip became so bad that yesterday during dinner rush, the manager had to call a meeting explaining how a customer overheard. And I kept encouraging the management, telling them they were doing a good job, sharing with the employees that we are a team, and building them up with words. Also that night, I was helping out in the kitchen, putting away dishes, even though I don't have to. And one of the dishwashers said, "You're a good worker. I always see you helping out people and you don't have to." And I said to him, "I'm working for the Lord." He smiled and said, all the other servers come back here and complain, but I can tell you are believing that and acting on it. I said, have you ever heard this saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength? He said, no, where's that? I told him it was in the Bible, and that's why I'm different, and I did not used to be this way. And so sharing a little bit of my testimony, he said, I am wanting to get back into my faith, and I don't know how. I would like to know more about the gospel, as you've told me. And I said that after work, I wanted to share the gospel with you in a real way that is understandable, as it is life-changing. And he was excited and said, I'm looking forward to talking more about the faith with you. And that is how my night ended. You know, it's really easy to carry a sign saying that the world is going to hell or that, you know, people need to change. But it's a lot more difficult to be Jesus in an ordinary person and in a mundane way. But it's a trivial day-to-day stuff at the office, at your school, at the gym, on the job, that people need to experience Jesus when they experience us. It's the trivial day-to-day stuff that we need to be salting and lighting, not gagging and binding. Think about your daily routine. Think about your coworkers. Do you have an opportunity, like Misha, to do this? Do you have an opportunity with your classmates or your neighbor, the person that you carpool with, the people you run into when you go about your day? Know this, people will experience the kingdom from you in the normal, in those moments that the normal becomes extraordinary, as people taste and see from you that the Lord is good. The Bible says in verses 14 to 16 of Matthew 5 that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does it light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And I hope that if we've learned anything over these last few weeks, we've learned that loving the church isn't about the building. It's not about the programs. It's about the relationships that you have with each other. It's primarily our relationship with God, but it's also our relationships with each other that make the difference. It doesn't stop there, because we have to love those who are outside of our walls, too. Think about the very first week of the sermon series when we read John 13:35, and I said this. The Bible says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, here's the thing. How can all people observe us having a reputation of love if we're never around other people? People sometimes say, Chris, why are you working with the fire company? Why are you always, you know, I try to do as many community activities as I can, not just stuff here in our building. I know that you all do this too, but I try to be involved. Because otherwise, how are people going to see the love that we have for each other if we're not out there with them? If you're not out there telling other people about what's going on in our church, or they don't get a chance to ask you, how are they going to know about the light and the salt that's here? You can't season and shine when your ordinary is separate from the bland darkness. So if you just don't share anything that happens here, you just come to church on Sunday morning, and then you go home, and then you don't tell anybody about anything, this is a secret, you know, we're not going to be doing very much for the kingdom of God. Church, small groups, the rest of our programs, everything we do for the youth, the fact that we let people use the building, we're all strengthening our saltiness and brightness, if you will. We are to live Jesus' values while the connection and having a connection in our world. One foot in the world today and one foot in God's kingdom. That's where we are. We're in a place in between as we wait for God to return. The question sometimes asked, one that really needs to be asked by churches, is if our church ceased to exist, would the neighborhood mourn? I just went to a funeral service this week for Billy Neff, for Jerry Spangler's cousin, and people were mourning that Bill passed away. If our church ceased to exist, if Liberty Baptist Church ceased to exist, would the neighborhood mourn? Would they say, no, you can't go? Or if we were to cease to exist, would the neighborhood even notice? I think the answer to those questions are definitely yes. But we have to be a church that they would miss, not for our own sakes or for our own pride, but because they are experiencing Jesus when they experience us. You know, we have a lot of things that we do. We give a lot of money to people. We do things like these Christmas boxes. We have thousands of dollars every month that we give in just having our gym available to the community. And all of it's for one purpose. And that is to give glory to God. It's been said sometimes that Christians make horrible neighbors. And I pray that that is never said about us. I hope that they are excited that we are their neighbor. And so we just pray that God will continue to help us to love our church, to love each other, and to love our community. As we prepare our invitation hymn, My Country 'Tis of Thee, as we praise the Lord for the veterans and for the service that those who have given to our nation and to our country, know that you're a part of a bigger nation, that you're a part of the nation of God, that Jesus is our Savior, and that if you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He will have a place for you in our heavenly home. Let's stand together and sing hymn 807, My Country 'Tis of Thee.